Hey everybody, happy Sunday.
Yep.
What's going on? I can see your little cranberry juice.
Yeah, it's all right cranberry there. And getting that damn kidney action going on, cleaning them damn kidneys
That's
out.
What I said.
Jenny fucking killed me this week, man. It's nothing but just,
it wasn't me. I didn't
Jenny,
do
I'm
it.
I blame her. Fucking, she's oh, we got to go to this event, got to go to that event, got to go to, and every time, and then we got to do the show. Today was an alcoholic's fucking, this week was an alcoholic's fucking dream. We drink
our,
a lot.
Our livers are just looking at us shaking their heads.
I need a break now. I'm going to fucking rest.
Well, yeah. We don't have to drink again until Friday or Saturday.
Right. I need a fucking break.
Or no, actually Wednesday. We have to probably drink on the sidetrack
I'm
show.
I'm going to have to fucking
Well, honestly, last night you drank like twice as much as I did.
Yeah, tequila.
Because I stuck with singles. I know. So I only had like three or four singles.
We're
and I think you had four or five doubles.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because Lee, the bartender, was like, when I got the tab, he was like, point at time. I was like, mostly him.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. Because I mostly drank, I drank like gin and tonics and then like I drank a bunch of water in between. So I wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Although I did like kind of get a little bit sick because if I drink too much gin, it's so acidic that it kind of.
Yeah. And then we went to IHOP afterwards.
This is some bullshit. So
McDonald's
normally.
McDonald's says, fuck it.
Yeah, normally, like, you know, when we're drunk, it's like sometimes you want McDonald's, right? It's like, first, they don't do the breakfast at night anymore, which, okay. Then they don't do chicken sandwiches at night anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's a McDonald's, like, right
near
on the way home.
Yeah, on the way home.
So we always used to stop there, you know, just to get, like, a burger or something on the
way
home.
Lay up in bed, watch fucking YouTube and shit. Drunk,
and then, like, eating a quarter pounder.
I eat, like, two quarter pounders or eat, like, two Big Macs. I don't even need the fries or anything. Just give me two, three of them Big Macs.
And then, but I guess, like, we tried to go there Monday after Memento Mori, and they weren't open, and I was just kind of like, whoa, well, then maybe they're just not, like, opening all night Monday, but we went by there last night, which was Saturday, and they were closed then, too.
Yeah.
And we went around to the other one, because there's another one, like, kind of up on the other side, and that one was also closed, so we went to IHOP instead, because they were fucking open.
And what was funny is that IHOP, of course, was a lot better, and it was basically cheaper. You could get that damn...
I mean, you got a lot more food for pretty much the same price.
Same amount. You had to pay a tip, but that's it. It was better than eating in the car.
That's true.
And we had a cool waitress.
Yeah, and there was there was a couple other drunk people in there, but nobody.
Yeah, everybody
that's
drunk.
That's a big fucking place.
Yeah.
They got some nice ass bathrooms and everything.
Might put IHOP at the top of the list when it comes to going home drunk. And you know what? That's on the way back from Mannequins.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was going to say it's not on the way back from downtown, but it's on the way back from Mannequins. Although, when we go to Mannequins, we usually eat at Chantel's because that's, like, right there. That's like
but
right
we had
door.
To blow Chantel's off a couple times because service has been so fucked up.
That's true. They are a little slow in the middle of the
slow.
Night. Because there's not a lot of people in there, and it's just kind of like they're open until 4 in the morning.
Yeah, they don't really want to be working that late. They don't really care.
Yeah, probably not. Well, because like I said, it's just it's usually just us in there, and maybe like another like one other
they're
table.
Like,
of
I wish these white motherfuckers would go home.
Yeah, go
God
home.
Damn,
God damn it! I don't want to make any chicken and waffles.
Yeah,
although the chicken and waffles are always good, even at 3 o'clock.
It's a lot more expensive at Chantel's, though.
That's true.
Just going to fucking IHOP is a lot faster. That breakfast was good.
It really was. I hadn't been there in like a billion years, but So I know that we already talked about Midsommar when we saw it in the theater originally, like summer of 2019 when it came out. But I kind of feel like, remember when we first started doing the matinee show? It's just funny how much it's like evolved over time. That we first started doing that show because we had like the AMC stubs and like, so we were filming reviews when we were at the theater, like as soon as we came out of the movie, we would like film a review of it, like what we thought of it. And honestly, I think that's kind of cool, but I kind of like this format better because it gives you time to watch the movie, research the movie, blah, blah, blah. Because sometimes if you just come out of the movie and do a review of it on the spot, like, I don't know, you know, like sometimes I don't know like about the movie, like, so it's like, oh, that guy was in it and what the fuck else was he in, and it's like a pain, so I don't really have time to like research it. And so I really wanted to, because I think it was Esther, right, that sent us Hereditary and Midsommar like for your birthday, and so we did a thing on Hereditary and then we rewatched Midsommar on a couple nights ago.
Yeah, two, three nights ago.
Because I really wanted to, like, rewatch it. And, the more I watch it, I'm glad I watched Hereditary a second time, and I'm glad I watched Midsommar a second time. I'm pretty sure Ari Aster is a fucking genius. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't like what you call it the first time, Hereditary. The first time I saw it, I fell asleep in it. The second time I saw it, I liked it better. I still didn't like it as much as Midsommar.
And that's fair.
Midsommar's to me a lot more of an understandable linear story. Hereditary is kind of like a puzzle. You really have to pay attention, and you have to wait for payoffs and stuff, and things happen in a certain order. It's not spelled out, and if you're really not paying attention, because sometimes my mind will wander, I lost fucking big sections of the Hereditary plot. Fucking story and the
yeah,
plot.
Really got to pay attention.
But Midsommar, it kind of pulls you in because it's a lot more situational and the story is being told in a linear fashion.
I mean, it's more straightforward.
Real straightforward. And it's kind of like, it's basically the same kind of concept as Wicker Man.
Essentially
as Wicker Man. Updated. It's fucking really cool. Whoever wrote this really did their homework, even with the
Ari
music.
Ari Aster did.
Ari Aster, yeah.
He wrote it and directed it, yeah.
And there's all kinds of fucking callbacks if you know fucking gothic neo-folk music, like Death in June and shit like that. That's in... The music is in there. Because, you know, Death in June, Current 93, David Tibet, and all those guys, Douglas Pierce... They were real big fans of fucking The Wicker Man, and they were big into damn neo-folk. Basically, you're talking about fucking honky magic, all right? That's what it is. Honky back magic. Into motherland. Yeah, this is like white voodoo is what we're talking about. Back when white people were kind of like Aztecs cutting people's hearts out up on temples. It's fucking scary, but they were doing this shit for a reason. But the thing is that killing somebody will not make it rain. But these people think it will, you know what I mean? And that's scary enough.
Sure.
You know, fuck, this is a cult that fucking kills people because they think it's going to help nature and shit.
Fourth throwdown says crazy Swedes.
Yeah, Swedish people doing this, you know?
Sleazy Bees asks if it's on Netflix. I believe it's on Amazon Prime, actually. Yeah. If you have an Amazon Prime subscription, I'm pretty sure you can watch it for free. But we have we have the Blu-ray, which is good because we have all the... there's actually like a really nice... There's not a ton of special features on it, but there's like a good like half an hour, 40-minute making of documentary on it, which I watched, which I thought was really good.
I really appreciated the score this time. A lot more than I did the first time seeing it. I was just hearing all these damn musical cues from those bands that I just mentioned. He knows those bands, or listened to those music. And even there's even a part where one of the high priests shows up with his face covered behind this thing that looks like a mop. Douglas Pierce was wearing one of those during one of his shows one time.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, it's some kind of a druidic thing. I don't know.
Just like part
either of that or... He just saw Douglas Pierce wearing that, and he goes, "I'm gonna have that dude wear that thing."
That's cool.
It might have been a mop. Douglas Pierce would have put a mop over his face. I cut a piece of a mop out and have that hanging. It was something.
I've seen that before, though. I'm pretty sure that's like something that has some significance.
Yeah, it's some kind of religious significance. You see, he's not really
mop head.
Yeah, they're not really pulling this out of their ass. You know what I mean? They're not really making this up. Stuff like this did exist in Europe in the early 1900s. There was a big neo-pagan fucking revival in this, all right? The damn German Nationalist Socialist Workers' Party, you know them as the fucking mustache man's Nazis, they were kind of partially inspired by some of the weird neo-paganism that was coming out of the early 1900s in Europe. It was just kind of like it was in the U.S. it kind of manifested as people being interested in seances and spiritism. In Europe, it was that, but also kind of like trying to go back to the pre-Christian era. They were trying to do that. They were bringing back Norse runes and symbols, and it was all about kind of like the green movement too. It had to do with the cycles in nature. And the thing is, though, man, nature is not like what, you know, 70s California hippies think it is. Nature involves killing shit. All right, things only live because they kill other things. It's food, you know. Everything imposes on something else. Even inanimate objects fuck each other over by taking up space that another object could occupy. You know, grass is fucking competing with each other for sunlight and nutrients. You know, there's, you just cannot live without imposing on other things. And that's kind of like the essence of that neo-paganism. And it's just, and it's kind of shown in this too. But there's a bunch of magical thinking involved also. You know, setting bears on fire, turning people into bears, and fucking group sex is kind of like just this damn weird ass ritual of getting some chick pregnant. And they, it's just weird, weird shit. But it makes sense when you kind of think about it from a primitive mindset.
Well, and the thing about it too, the thing that's great about this that I picked up on the first time I watched it, but this is definitely one just like Hereditary is, where it gets better like the more times you watch it.
Yeah.
Because you pick up a lot more stuff. Because I guess like Ari Aster is like so, he has like planned out every single everything, like every single shot, every single detail, every single way the camera moves, and it's like everything that shit is going on in the background. It's like he's really, and like I saw some interviews with like people that have worked with him on the movies, and they say that too. It's like everything is like totally, totally planned, and it's like everything means something, and that's going on in this one too. The thing that I love about this is that it's really much like The Wicker Man. It's really, really hard to make a creepy, I don't know if I'd call this movie so much scary, but it's very, it's unsettling. It's a very unsettling movie. And the whole thing is daytime. There's one scene where Danny, the main character, where she's, I think she's dreaming, and she comes out and it's nighttime, but that's a dream. Because they're in, you know, they're above like the Arctic Circle, so yeah, the sun doesn't ever really go down.
Yeah, now the girl that plays Annie, what's her name? Danny. What's her name?
Florence Pugh.
Yeah, she was also played in Fighting With My Family.
Yeah, she's been in tons of shit.
Yeah.
She's awesome, I love
her.
Yeah,
she's cute, and she's real cute in this. Little bitty chick, big head, but kind of a cute head.
Nice. He kept saying like,
yeah, she got, I like her head.
He's like, I really dig her. She's got like a big head.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, but like in a good way.
Is her head big though?
It looked a little big to me. Well, I don't, it's either she had a big head or she had like a square face and with a real strong defined jaw, so it kind of made it look bigger than it was.
Yeah. Maybe.
She's kind of thin in this, but she played that one wrestler, Paige. She played Paige in Fighting With My Family. I recommend that one also. That's also a very good movie.
That was such a good movie. That's another, we saw that in the theater, too.
Yeah, that's another Florida movie now.
Yeah.
Up there with fucking old...
Pain and Gain, I know.
Pain and Gain, yeah, it's like that.
You know what I found? Okay, so maybe people that are in the UK would have probably realized this. I knew Florence Pugh was British, you know, even though she plays an American in this movie. However, until I watched the documentary about the making of, I didn't realize that the dude that plays her boyfriend, Christian, is also British. I think he's Irish. And the dude that plays Mark, the douchey, like, comic relief dude, that dude is also British.
Yeah. I don't think there were any Americans in this.
No, the one guy playing the dude, the anthropology student.
The black guy?
That guy was American.
Right.
But everybody else was British, or the dude that played Pele was actually Swedish.
That's why the acting was good.
I know. I didn't realize. Like I said, I knew Florence Pugh was British because I've seen her in a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess, well, like the two other guys were in it. I guess like they've been in a bunch of British movies like together because they said, we, you know, we knew each other from previously. So they had worked on some movies before. But so it's not only awesome that they made this such a creepy fucking movie and it's completely daytime, other than like the beginning, like where Danny's family dies. But it's just, I like that the way they juxtapose the cult. I guess you'd call them a cult.
Although they're a cult.
Yeah.
That is a cult. It's a small religion.
Yeah. The way they juxtapose that with like the sunlight, but also the cult don't really seem to be hiding much of anything from them. You know what I mean? Like they're like showing
what they do.
What they do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the old people like jump off the cliff or whatever.
And but that made sense to them though.
It did.
Because at 72 you have to fucking take your own life. Because you've lived a good life with them. They've been doing this shit for a long time.
And then it's time for you to be recycled.
It's time for you to be recycled. It's like Carousel.
Yeah.
Out of Logan's Run. And you have to go while you're still healthy and happy. because once you go beyond that, once you get beyond that time, you become miserable because you're fighting death and you start to decline too much.
Yeah.
You become a burden to yourself and to others. And so these people, all these people in this cult willingly face death like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
They volunteer to be sacrificed.
Which, like I said, it's scary because a lot of the shit they say, like, makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all seem to be, like, happy, and they're all nice and stuff like that, even though they kill people. Like, but they're killing people not because they hate them, because they think
that one dude.
But that one dude was a jackass.
Yeah, that one. They don't have any problems with taking vengeance. And so if you fuck them over or try to steal from them or try to disrespect them, they punish you.
Yeah, because they're like, well, we needed a sacrifice anyway, and here you are being a dick. So,
and they're doing it in fucking ways that were kind of legendary for, like, Vikings. I'm not gonna fucking mention the punishments, but it's a lot of fucking pre-Christian punishments that they do to people. You know what I mean? Which are in line with the motif of this cult, and it's a lot of creepy shit, man. They're little Swedish. Old-fashioned Swedish houses and buildings that they make.
And they built that whole entire... This was actually not shot in Sweden. It was shot in Hungary.
Okay.
But...
It looks like Sweden.
Yeah, but he found this location. He's like, we found this big fucking field that looked like... And they built that whole entire village, like, for the movie.
And on the walls, there's all these little folk drawings and pictures that they put, and all these weird runes and stuff, and the pictures are fucking disturbing. And you're like, well, that's got to be an allegory for something else. It is an allegory, but they're going to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's what... And honestly, like, when they show, like, before the credits, like, they show, like, a mural or something like that, everything in that mural happens in the movie. So it's almost kind of like he's spoiling it, like, from the beginning.
Yeah, you were like, that's a creepy picture. Well, you'll see that shit later.
Yeah. And it's not in there for no reason. Right. It's foreshadowing is what that is.
Yeah. And it's just they're having this festival. They only have it once every 90 years. It's a big change of certain cycle. And that's why they've kind of, like, brought these other people in. I think it's every 90 years they bring a person.
Yeah, it's 90 years.
But they also bring in new members in other ways, I think, because some of those people were brought in. But then you find out what they mean by bringing in a new member. That's got a different fucking... You join up, but I ain't gonna fucking spoil it. You can join them, but not for long. You'll see.
Although, it's hard to talk about without spoiling it, but... Yeah. Well, Pat Hatfield asks, I've seen The Wicker Man with Christopher Lee, which is a classic, and I heard that Midsommar was similar, so my question is there a reason to watch Midsommar, or is it just interchangeable with The Wicker Man? It's not...
It's not totally interchangeable.
It's not. It's not the same story.
No.
Thematically, it's kind of similar, but basically with the story of Midsommar, or Midsommar, if you want to pronounce it correctly, what the story with that is it's almost like, it's long, it's 2.5 hours, and it's real...
It goes by fast, though.
Yeah, I didn't find it slow, but maybe some people would, I don't know. It's real trippy, and it takes, like, a while, there's, like, a lot of build-up to it, because it's not just... the story of these Americans that go to this Swedish village, because one of them, like I said, is an anthropology student. He's going to study them and blah, blah, blah. And so it's not... They go there and then, like, creepy cult shit ensues. Like, you know, it takes a while to get to that point. But it's also a weird kind of thing. Kind of much like Hereditary was kind of like a thing about, like, grief and family trauma and things like that. This is, Ari Aster has called this, like, a fucked up breakup movie, which is exactly what it is.
Basically, yeah.
It's almost kind of like Florence Pugh's character, Danny. It's her deteriorating relationship with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And almost her becoming empowered, but in a really fucked up, perverse way.
Yeah, yeah. Here's something else. If you watch I was watching it and I was going, that's pretty fucked up. That's the horror element of what happens. Danny's not a role model. She's not fucking mentally fucking right.
No.
You know, she's fucked up. But,
Understandably so.
Yeah, she finds her place with this fucking cult eventually in a way.
So
but that's the horror element of the story, basically.
It's almost kind of like, it's a story about grief and breakups, but it's also about indoctrination.
Yeah.
In a way.
Belief.
Yeah. And it's belief. Almost kind of like... Because it's really weird because I saw, like, an analysis of this that said something about it really astute. They said From Danny's point of view, this movie is like a fairy tale. It's like The Wizard of Oz. Her finding her place.
Yeah.
From all the other characters' point of view, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, I thought that was like a really good, that's exactly like the right way to look at it.
Yeah, and in The Wicker Man, the meaning behind The Wicker Man is that, no, sacrificing people does not make it rain, okay? But also going around and judging people by the Christian mindset doesn't necessarily make people bad. In other words, that cop was going around...
Sergeant Howie.
Yeah, he was going around kind of condemning people for their beliefs as if that made him
morally superior.
When actually they're both believing in shit that's kind of bullshit. That was the meaning.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the whole theme of that movie.
Yeah. This movie is, yeah, it's bullshit, but it doesn't matter. It makes some people happy. That's fucking, I think, the meaning of the movie. What this girl does, ends up doing in this movie, is bullshit. But it didn't matter to her. It made her happy. Everything was, it was like subjective. Everybody lives in like a subjective reality.
And you could almost kind of see it too as like I said, it's really perverse and fucked up, like what happens at the end. But she's so messed up that from her point of view, it seems like a good thing. Like I said, it seems like empowering because she's found a place. So her big thing, like the reason, you know, that her relationship with her boyfriend, whose name is Christian, you know, he's very emotionally distant. She feels like she always has to like hide her emotions from him because they're like inconvenient for him and like all this other kind of stuff. Yeah, that too. And it's like he kind of wants to break up with her, but then he feels kind of bad. So he's like really apathetic about it. And, you know, she has goes through this horrible tragedy, like, at the beginning of the movie, and he's not really there for her.
He was going to break up with her, but...
And he was going to... And then he felt bad, and then, like... And then they end up going on this trip, which he actually didn't... Wasn't even going to tell her about, but then, like, she accidentally found out about it, so she goes.
Yeah. He wasn't a bad guy. It's just that he was... he wasn't putting her out of her misery, really. He didn't love her. He should have broke up with her a long time ago.
Yeah,
and his friends were saying that.
And the fact that he couldn't pull the trigger on it...
Yeah, he was kind of a coward.
Yeah. And like I said, he was real, like, apathetic. He wasn't, like, giving her anything that she needed. And it's just kind of like, you know, and she was messed up, too. Yeah. It's like, so it was, like, his fucked up, like, codependent relationship.
Well, if you haven't noticed, basically all the outsiders, all the boys, pretty much, that go, they're all betas, basically. The alphas were in the cult in certain ways.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Remember the dude, I can't really fucking want to break it, but the dude that's pissed off about the tree?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fucking, he stood up for what he believed in, and he pulled the trigger on what? At least one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These guys were kind of like betas. They were kind of like
your supposed to be like a representation. Of just like real... Like the guy that that pissed on the tree was the fool.
Yeah.
Which they actually kind of allude to like later on in the movie, like what happened
to him.
You
see that happening when he's tripping.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he's going, man, this motherfucker's a loser.
It's just, although he did make me laugh like a bunch of times, like when they were doing the magic mushrooms.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about. And he's like, what time is it? And they're like, it's 9 p.m. and it's still like daylight. He's like, I don't like that. Right, I don't like
that. He couldn't roll with anything.
But and everything was like a joke to him. Yeah. He was like making fun of everything. It's like, you know, somebody tell those girls they're walking stupid or something like that.
The meaning to me was this fucking... They were basically a bunch of... They were kind of represented the mainstream kind of mundanes and how kind of like fish out of water they were when they're outside their own element. And they kind of like they're dependent on a certain societal system. Once they're out of that, they can't function well.
And then the one guy that was going there to do his thesis was seemingly kind of sympathetic, but he was also seeing... The cult, the Horga, as they were called, kind of seeing them from an academic standpoint. And he went around and did shit. Like, they were like, hey, you can't take pictures of our sacred book. You can't do this. But then he would sneak around and do it anyway.
Yeah, the modern people in this.
So it was disrespectful. Yeah.
The college kids in this are all artificial people, basically. The Horga were more real people. They were emotional based, and it was more like magical thinking and in a certain way. And they believed in what they did. They were not commercial. They weren't products of the commercial world. They were more like primitive people.
Well, and
but
like
they
I
were
said,
also advanced at the same time.
That's why Danny ended up kind of finding her place with them because they unlike her boyfriend and unlike her boyfriend's friends, the people she was with, they allowed her to feel the way she was feeling, and they empathized with her.
Yeah.
Like, there's these really weird scenes where she's, like, kind of crying or having a panic attack.
They are crying.
And all the other women are, like, crying with her, you know what I mean? So they're all, like...
That's, like, what Scientologists
like,
are trying
to do. Yeah, like, taking her pain on and things like that. But, like I said, there's an element of indoctrination, too, because they're essentially, like, love-bombing her.
Yeah, yeah. If you understand Scientology, you'll see a lot of Scientology tactics in that, mirroring people emotionally to try to try to get in with them, love bombing, fucking all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Fair gaming people.
Yeah. And she was totally open for it because, you know, of the situation that she was in.
Yeah.
So it's just, as I said, I think the one that we have on the Blu-ray, that might be the director's cut, which I think is longer than the one that we saw in the theater.
I didn't remember it being any different than the one.
Although, that's what I was thinking, too, because I was looking at the Wikipedia page, and it was saying, the one that's on Blu-ray, unless that one was, like, limited edition, because this version was, like, what, 2.5 hours long, something like that? Mm-hmm. But I can't remember how long it was when we saw it in the theater. I remember it being long, but I didn't know if it was 2.5 hours. Maybe. Yeah. But then when we watched it again, there wasn't anything in there that I didn't remember being in there before, but... Yeah.
My advice on this movie is if you liked Hereditary, you'd like this movie, even though they're very different. If you didn't like Hereditary, you'd like this one better. Like, I didn't like Hereditary that much. I like this one a lot better.
It's interesting because kind of weird. I know it's a weird thing to say. Thank you, Mr. Roboto. So would you and Jenny survive Midsommar?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, but they'd kill you anyway, probably.
Well, they needed some sacrifices.
Yeah, they
need, you know?
Yeah. They'd probably end up killing you anyway.
That's just how shit happens.
I wouldn't have made a lot of the mistakes that they made, but I don't think there was any way out of there.
Probably not. Although, I'm not sure, though, because remember how they were talking about the Horga and how they saw all of life as seasons, right? So it's like up until you were 18, that was spring. And then from 18 to 36, I think it was, that was summer. And that's when you went on your pilgrimage.
Yeah.
So you went out into the world. And so like when all of the people that were going through the summer, when they brought people back to the village, like for the festival, I don't think they killed all those people because there were some other ones.
I think they killed them all.
No, because they only needed 9.
I don't think there were any witnesses.
Maybe not, but they, it's like
they
I said,
were afraid of that, remember?
They only needed 9.
And the whole thing about letting that guy do
his thesis,
that was bullshit. They intended to kill all of those people.
Probably.
They just told him that to keep him quiet for the time being. Because that's what eventually ended up happening.
Pat said, I liked Hereditary, so I'll watch this one.
Yeah, you'll
it's like thematically, it's kind of similar, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, weird cults. Yeah.
But it's a totally different... Whereas Hereditary was just, like, very dark. Very,
yeah.
This one is, like, super brightly lit. And it's, like, beautiful to look at. It's, like, flowers. Yeah. And it's, like, there's all this, like, trippy shit in the background. Like, the trees are swirling and shit.
Yeah, they're on hallucinogenics a lot of the times. And you're kind of seeing things how they see it. They're fucking tripping out. The background... The fucking forests start pulsating in the back because they're all fucking high. Weird shit happens in it.
It's cool. And it's like...
And even though it's bright, it's happening outside, you know bad shit's going to happen. And it kind of makes it worse. And they'll show you some fucked up shit, and it's in the middle of the day. You're like, whoa, you know?
And they're
showing it to you like it's normal.
There's one part in this that I felt was kind of like the equivalent of, you know, the smash cut to Charlie's head in Hereditary.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, because it... This movie takes a while. I mean, there's fucked up shit happens at the beginning, like before they even get to Sweden, like with Danny's family and everything. So it's like this big tragedy. And then once they get over there and everything is like bright and gorgeous and flowery and everything.
Yeah.
And then, so it goes on like that for a while. And for a while, you're kind of thinking, oh, these seem like nice, happy people. Like they're a little weird, but you know what I mean? They just, you know, they're all like hippies and everything. And, but then there comes a point where... There's a ritual, and they're all just, like, standing there, and you're, like... And it's pretty fucked up. It's, like, pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
And everyone's just totally chill about it.
Yeah, they had their own explanation for it. It was the same kind of things you'd see down the capital city of fucking the Aztec Empire. That kind of stuff. Human sacrifice. They were cool with it. you know, and they were cool with cannibalism in Mexico during that time. You didn't waste that meat, you know, it was part of the sacrifice. So it was kind of like that, and it's just normalized. But outsiders are tripping, you know, like, wow, you know, no, they're screaming, what's wrong with you people? And they're like, no, what's wrong with you? You know, like,
yeah, they're like, what? They're, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, they are happy people.
Yeah, it's not fake.
No, they're happy people. They're I guess you could say they're good people, but they don't really see you as a good person if you're an outsider. And kind of from their point of view, from their belief system, you aren't a good person to them. So they can do fucked up shit to you, and they feel good about it, you know?
Yeah,
it's just part of belief.
Well, that's just what we got to do every now and then.
Yeah, that's kind of the way the world is.
Well, like I said, I think they do it every 90 years, they said, right? So
yeah, but I think there was other shit they were doing on a pretty regular basis, though.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's just that they don't talk about that.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
It's just, I'm glad that we watched it again because I liked it so much better. Like, I liked it a lot the first time. Right. I probably still like Hereditary a little bit better, but I don't know. They're both different, so it's, like, hard to compare.
This one's a lot easier to understand.
Yeah, I mean, this one is not, because like you said, the thing that you didn't like about Hereditary so much was that you really, really had to pay attention, because everything was like a puzzle. It was like interconnected, and you missed like large chunks of plot because you weren't really paying attention.
Yeah, or I just didn't notice what it was they were trying to show us.
This one is really kind of more like a straightforward story, because it's like these people, they go to Sweden, and then there's this cult, and there's nefarious shit going on, and that's like pretty easy to understand. So, but that said, if you go back and watch it again, like I said, there you'll notice like all this shit, like, you know, the murals that were in the background that like basically tell you what's going to happen. There was one point where I can't remember like what scene it was. It was one scene. I think it was when they were carrying like the May Queen, and in the background of the trees was Danny's sister's face, like kind of superimposed like over the trees. Real trippy, but it's like, yeah, so there's,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's points, so it's like all kind of like crazy shit going on in the background like that. Like I said, a lot of times, because they use a lot of hallucinogens, you know, like magic mushrooms and like hallucinogenic teas and stuff, and whenever people are on that, you know, the background starts undulating.
Yeah.
And you know,
the flowers are
kind of moving on people's like and people's faces are kind of distorting, but just slightly.
Yeah.
So it's like really, really, it's really unsettling.
Yeah. The food looks like it's breathing a little bit.
Like that. Yeah. And it's like really fucking weird.
It's good.
But it's like subtle, you know what I mean? It's not like super up in your
face.
She
had to push it, she had to point some of it out.
Yeah.
Me. I didn't see it. I wasn't always seeing it all the time.
Yeah. But it's good. It's like, you know what I mean? If, like I said, if you like folk horror at all, if you like The Wicker Man, it's along those lines, but it's like a totally different story. I mean, yeah, it's like a cult and it's similar, but it's not really the same story.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other shit going on in there too.
Everybody's talking.
Yeah. A prequel, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Drug cartel time, right? Mark Kilroy. Somebody said we should do a podcast on that case. I'll write it down. I'll have to look that up. I think I know the case that you're talking about, but I'll check and see.
Yeah, but no, I think it was a good movie. Like I said, if you liked Hereditary, you'd like this one. If you didn't like Hereditary, you'd like this one. Because a lot of reasons why I think a lot of people wouldn't like Hereditary is just how complicated that story is. This one's a lot easier to understand. It's really in your face. But it has that fucking same creepiness. It just comes at you in a different way.
Yeah. And it's really... And the gruesome shit that happens, I think, is all the more effective because it goes on for so long without anything necessarily seeming like it's the matter.
Now, we saw this in the theater, and there was a couple of... couple of normies, you know, watching it with us. And when it was over, they were just like... whatever, walked out, and I was, because they were kind of like the kind of people that would have been fucking killed by the horde anyway. But it is weird if you, it is cool if you know what you're seeing, you know what I mean? But I don't think those people knew what it was that they were seeing. They're like, huh, what? It's like that.
It's a pretty weird ass movie.
They want no explosions in that.
It's a weird ass movie.
Yeah, it's weird.
And it's long, and you really have to, like I said, you really have to get into it, and you have to, like, kind of get, because it takes a while for, like, for them to kind
of... If you're just, like, a person who's never even heard of the Wicker Man movie, or never, you know what I mean, then you probably wouldn't know what kind of movie this was.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, you don't have to see the Wicker Man to see it, but...
Yeah, you'll still get it, but yeah, I'm just saying... Yeah,
you'll still get it, but, you know, if you didn't even know a movie like that existed, you probably wouldn't get it, and, you know, it's not really a horror movie for normies.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fucking
and honestly, too,
special movie.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the horror is not...
It's not normal
real
horror.
Overt.
Right. You have to think about it.
Yeah. It's more it's more horror by implication. Right. I mean, there is, like, some really gruesome shit that happens in this.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily where the horror comes from. No. And most of that doesn't happen until, like, toward the end.
Yeah, the horror is kind of like the distortion of morality. And weird feelings of what it'd be like to be an outsider in a real... You're an outsider and you're around this cult. And they have an alien moral system that you don't really fully understand. And they're kind of a threat. But they don't really seem like it.
Yeah.
They're friendly. And they're all good looking, too. They don't really have any ugly people. There's one person who's ugly and it was on purpose.
Yeah. they'll get ugly more. On purpose.
Yeah, he was ugly on purpose. He was bred to be ugly.
He's the Oracle.
Yeah. They are. So, it's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird-ass flick. But yeah, if you like folk horror, then you should definitely watch it. Yeah. And I'm like I said, I'm glad we watched it a second time. And I'm dying to see what Ari Aster's next movie is going to be. Because like I said, I'm pretty sure that dude's legit a genius. I think somebody told me that he had made a short film before Hereditary came out. And what's it called? I think it's called The Strange Thing About the Johnsons or something like that. And somebody told me I needed to watch that because it was, like, kick-ass. So I think he made a couple short films before he made Hereditary, but Hereditary was, like, his first feature length. And when I was watching the extras, like, on Midsommar, he said basically he went to the premiere of Hereditary, like, the summer of 2018, and the next day... They went to Hungary and started shooting this one. Mm. But they showed, like, they built, like, the whole fucking village. So all that stuff you see there is actually really there. They built all of it exactly to his specifications. And, yeah, it looks fucking great. So, Mr. Roboto, so they would have been better as a walrus?
Yeah, they'd have been better as a walrus. Yeah, they'd have been better as a walrus.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, that's a fucking good movie, too. It's weird.
I love weird movies, man. I just really do.
If
it's
you guys
like,
haven't seen Tusk, see Tusk. That's a fucking weird shit. Yeah.
Pat says, dear God, stay away from that short film. Oh, now I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Why? Because it's bad or because it's, like, really scary? I don't really know. I've heard it was, like, really awesome. All right, so you ready to, like, wrap it up?
Cause we
got some food cooking in the oven.
And
make
chicken.
Some Spanish chicken and some rice and beans.
Yeah.
It'll be really good. Yeah, so we'll probably watch a movie this evening and be back tomorrow for another matinee. So have a good rest of your weekend, you guys. Thanks, somebody, for dropping by. Thanks for super chats and all of that jazz. And we'll see you guys tomorrow afternoon. Bye.